today on Real Radio.
For by him all things were created. This is Jesus here. By him everything was created. Wow. Jesus of the Bible? Yep, he's the creator. Genesis 1:1, Jesus did that.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's special Christmas edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack in a message called Born, the Advent of God Among Us, Part 1. As we consider the message of Christmas, there is no greater or more wonderful or even more logical explanation for the existence of God. Christmas brought us the greatest gift of all. A perfect hope for every man, woman, boy, and girl was given to us when Jesus Christ was born our Lord and Savior. If you could have every need met, every crisis calmed, and every pain eased, what would you say to that? God made himself known in the flesh through his Son, Jesus Christ, and it's in his nature to comfort and to preserve us. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the very person of God who wants you to know him personally. Today in this special Christmas message, Pastor Jack tells us that Jesus, who was God in the flesh, was born into his own creation. All things were created by him, both in heaven and on earth. Still, he became less than himself to suffer and die on the cross to redeem us from our sins. Not even the angels had seen him as a baby being born. They were amazed by his appearance and glorified him. And now in his message called Born, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
So the first thing that we see under this is the fact that Jesus is the justifier of our situation. This is rather interesting. Watch this. That he's the justifier of our situation. Now listen. What could possibly, think about this, in context of Christmas, what could possibly be wrong with Christmas? The Christmas greeting, the Christmas reality. Why is there still such a debate about Christmas? Well, it's because to say Merry Christmas is to make a statement, listen, that is 100% pure doctrine of the Bible. Did you know that? When you say Merry Christmas, for example, the word Merry means to be happy, means buoyant. You don't hear that word very often, do you? To be buoyant. Our culture needs to be buoyant. You know what buoyant means? No matter how rough the sea is, it's on top. Buoyant, it's the buoy floating in the storm. Buoyant means to be lifted up, joyful. The word also is translated exuberant. Walk around town. Exuberant Christmas to you. It means to be glad. It means to be gleeful. Merry. Gleeful Christmas to you. Buoyant. Joyful is the meaning of the word. Christ. Merry Christ. The word is anointed one. When you say Merry Christmas, you're saying joyful, anointed one, joyful Messiah. That's what you're saying. Now, this is a test. Now, listen, why would someone want to argue about saying Merry Christmas? Seriously, think about it. We're announcing joyous Messiah, joyous anointed one, Mass. Merry Christmas, Mass, the gathering, the union of worship, Mass. Exuberant, joyful, anointed one, Messiah, gathering to him. Who would care? Why do people want to fight over this? Listen, what kind of an individual would think up, by the way, I don't think people think it up. I think somebody thought it up for them. Because if you fell out of an airplane and landed on some island somewhere, you would not have this axe to grind about wishing people on the island a Merry Christmas. It's a spiritual issue. It gives honor to Jesus. There's no Merry Muhammad Day. Hello. Happy Hindu Day. There's no Happy Hindu Day. It's Merry Christmas. joyful, exuberant regarding the anointed one. Let's gather together and worship him. Amen. I don't like that. Why don't you like it? I hereby officially call out the world who's got a problem with Christmas. What's your problem? In England, I like the way they put it. Your knickers are all in a wad. What's the problem? I don't believe in Christmas. Then don't say it, but we're going to say it. Can you handle that? I don't believe. That's fine. It's a free country. It's a free world. You don't have to believe, but I believe, so I'm going to wish the world a Merry Christmas. Oh, I don't like it. Well, it doesn't change the fact that there's going to be billions of people that are going to gather together and honor the anointed one, and they're going to be very gleeful about it. It's awesome. Merry Christmas. It's all about God sending us his son. Because this whole Merry Christmas deal, the underlying root flowing and always being there, is that Christmas in its greeting is the liberation announcement from sin, and the world can't stand it. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, 19 and 21, 2 Corinthians 5, 19 and 21, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Wow. Jesus is the justifier of sin. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 15, John 3, 15, great Christmas verse. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that's a whole big invitation there, friend. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Wow. Because he has not believed, does not trust in the name of the only glorified or begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Listen, verse 21. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Jesus Christ is the justifier of our situation. Jesus Christ is the one who was born into this world of sin. Also this, Jesus is the justifier of God's holiness to us. He came into a sinful world, not to condemn us, but to show us. And the choice is yours to make. The Bible says in Galatians 4, verse 4, but when the fullness of time had come, I love this. Why was Jesus born 2,000 years ago? Because when the fullness of time had come, at just the right time. By the way, what's the date today? Yeah, it's in the year. You know why it is? Because of Galatians 4:4. The reason why the date is because Jesus was born. Don't you know that the world is older than 2,018 years? Why is it that every nation on the planet, if they're going to do a legal transaction, no matter what their calendar keeping is, they got to go Jesus on us to make it legal? And listen, right now, this is a side note. Have you noticed, by the way, in this move, I don't let this slide. When I go to museums, I love museums. When I go to museums, or when we go to Israel or other parts of the world, and you see a display of something, and they'll have something like this. This home was built in 33 BCE. You seen BCE? It used to be before Christ. Did you know that? But that bothered people because we just can't acknowledge Christ. What are we going to do? And some little devil comes out from some little plastic bin and says, I got him. I have an idea. on the end and call it before the common era. We'll do away with Jesus. But then we still have this AD thing. AD. What's the AD? Listen, the AD thing, people will say, it means after death. Did you know? Oh, it's the year 2018 AD after death. That's not what AD means. But it's convenient for those who don't want to believe because AD, after death, leaves them in the grave. The word is Anno Domini. It means that it is the year of our Lord. Did you know that's what it means? In the year of our Lord. This is very important. Because if you're going to do any legal transaction, I don't care what your view is, you've got to sign the document with the current date. Every time you sign the date, every time you type it in, every time you look at your credit card and it's stamped on the front, it's screaming at your face, it's because of Jesus. Remember that. And so Galatians says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, reference to the virgin birth, Isaiah 7:14, remember, born under the law, Jesus was born Jewish, to redeem those who were under the law, that's his people. The Bible says in John 1, he came to the Jew first, that we might receive the adoption as sons, that's us Gentiles. Wow. And then finally, under this second point, Jesus is the justifier of the word of God. We don't need to belabor this, but he being the justifier of the word of God, Jesus lived out the word. It's one thing to have things academically. It's one thing to have things written down and to see it in print. But will you allow your imagination for a moment? That when the word became flesh and dwelt among us, imagine Jesus coming up out of the pages of your Bible. And he's wrapped in words. He's wrapped in these pages. And when he speaks, these pages come out of his mouth. He's the word of God. Third and final argument today, Jesus was born into his creation. His creation. Let's make sure we understand who Jesus is. When we look at the statement, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was seen by angels. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, listen carefully now, theologians, listen up. He, that's Jesus, is the image, the revealed manifestation of the invisible God. The firstborn, that word means the one who is both ruler, preeminent, and resurrected one. He represents, he's the maker and representative of all creation. Verse 16, for by him all things were created. This is Jesus here. By him everything was created. Wow. Jesus of the Bible? Yep, he's the creator. Genesis 1:1, Jesus did that. Did you know that? How big is your Jesus? All things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible. That's interesting because it's speaking about physical things, invisible physical things. You say, that's an oxymoron. How can you say that? An invisible physical thing. Molecules are invisible physical things. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean they're not physical. They're physical. You and I just don't have the eyeballs to see that stuff. Ooh, you know what? You want to freak out? Go study this later. This is freaky. Scientists years ago discovered that time is a physical property of the created universe. Time. Time's a physical attribute. And they learned that because they could manipulate time in a controlled environment. They could slow down time in a controlled environment. Isn't that weird? Think of it. That means everything physical had its beginning and has its present and has its end. Everything physical must end. You know what that's called? Anybody? What's the second law of thermodynamics called? Entropy. Say it right here. I just heard it. Entropy. It means everything that is falling apart. You know the gifts you just bought for your friends and you wrapped them? They're already falling apart. You haven't got them out of the box yet. They're falling apart. Old people, we know this. It's falling apart. But it goes on in Colossians, it goes on, whether thrones or dominions or principalities, yikes, that means he's over all angelic powers, heavenly and demonic. He's the ultimate say. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. All things are held together by the atomic glue, which is Jesus. And so we look at it this way before we end. Born into his creation means that he came in his incarnation. In his incarnation, my dear friends, the fact is that Jesus Christ, and here's what's awesome about this, there's an infinite amount of historical records, history itself, doctrines that set Jesus Christ apart from all others in human history, but nothing more unique than the message of this mission of his to become incarnate. It's so amazing and yet so well known to you literally that we're not affected by it much anymore. And yet it is the greatest thing of all that Christmas announces that God would allow and make of himself willfully to be made incarnate. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats, that is religious offerings, acts, performances, to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, quote, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired. Christ is quoting the Old Testament, according to the book of Hebrews here. Look, but a body have you prepared for me. The Messiah, the prophetic messianic scriptures say, Jewish friends, listen. The Jewish scriptures say that when the Messiah would come into the world, he would have a body prepared for him. Because my Jewish friends today deny that Jesus is the Messiah of Israel. They believe that the Messiah is only a man. No, the Bible teaches that the Messiah is the anointed one, God, who became a man to redeem us from the curse of sin and from the law. Look at this, almost done. This one's very, very, I think, fun in my opinion. Born into his creation, the fact that he becomes less than himself. Will you write that down? Jesus Christ, by being born into this world, became less than himself. Friends, church, listen, because I got to go fast. Jesus Christ never ceased to be God. Never. I have a problem with that. Thank you, Pastor, because when he's on the cross and he died, how can God die? That's why he became a man. It had to be this way. Because God can't die. Humans die. So then what was going on the cross? God was in human skin. And God brought himself to the place of an offering. God allowed to be tethered, knit to human flesh to suffer. That's why the baby was born in Bethlehem. In Philippians 2:7, it says, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of mankind, human. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. We're talking about what is known as the kenosis. That God, when he was born into this world, the Bible says that Jesus, after the Christmas story, grew in the grace and knowledge of God, and he had favor with both God and man. And Jesus Christ, when he enters into his earthly ministry, he performs kenosis. It means that he, in his humanity, takes his power and he sets it right over here. Watch everybody. He takes his power to whatever the situation is and he sets it right here. Watch, he sets it right here. And then he lets the Roman centurions beat his face and rip his back open. Here's the temptation. Can you imagine? He took this for you and I. What blows my mind is that at any moment, he could have gone like this. That's enough. Or if somebody hit him a little too hard, his kenosis, he could have said, that was a little too hard. And he picks up again and he just fries those guys in front of him. Or when somebody was saying things about him and doing things to him, he willfully determined for you, decided for you, I am not going to know what they're going to do next, because someday Jack is not going to know what they're going to do to him next, or Ron, or Kathy. And so I'm going to take it just like Jack's going to have to take it someday. But at any moment, he could have come over here and picked it up, as he did sometimes in the Bible, and he knew what they were thinking, and he spoke to them saying, are you with me? Yes. Kenosis. You got a God like that? I do. This is my Christmas God. This is who he is. And then I end with this. The Bible tells us here that he was seen by angels. Seen by angels means this. You guys know this in this church already. It means that the angels, you say, well, what's the big deal, seen by angels? It means in his incarnation, in his manifestation. Great is the mystery of godliness. God is revealed in the flesh. It's the first time angels had seen him in the flesh in this way. Mary's giving birth. And probably the stable, which stables in Bethlehem are caves, not wood, not like what's on your nativity set. Go to Bethlehem, it's all a bunch of caves. She's probably laying in a cave. And with all due respect, poor Joseph, he's doing what he's been told to do. First time dad to be. The whole thing's been crazy for 9 months anyway. It's been freaking him out. Mary discreetly pulls up her robe. And what's tough for you and I, you know, it's they didn't give birth like we do in our country. They squat. She would have squatted. She didn't lay down. She squatted. And the Bible says, seen by angels. The word means angels stared. Angels couldn't take their eyes off. Angels gawked. It means that angels had open mouth and big eyes. It means to be big-eyed and open mouth. At the coming of their creator into the world for the first time, they got to see him. Because you guys know, the Bible says that in the presence of God, the angels cover their faces in heaven and their feet. And with their two remaining wings, they have six wings, they flap. Isaiah chapter 6 tells us that they fly with two wings, but in the presence of God, they shield their face from God and they cover their feet, their body in the presence of God. And so what's implied here is that baby Jesus is coming out, and for the first time, they get to see without a filter. They get to see their creator coming out of a human being. And they gawked. Oh. But can you imagine they're watching this little, what came out for, was it his hand first? How did he come out? Was it like this? Was his head first? They're looking. Our creator's got curly hair. Our creator, look at, he's in skin. Why would he do this? For them, these people. But they would have known the scriptures to redeem mankind from their sins. No wonder why angels gawked, because nowhere in the Bible does it say that Jesus redeems angels. He makes them, but he doesn't redeem them. There's only one that's redeemable, and that's us. Isn't that amazing? He died for you. So listen, I want you to have a Merry Christmas.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his special Christmas message called Born, Part 1. Thanks for listening, and Merry Christmas from Pastor Jack and all of us here at Real Radio. Our prayer for you this Christmas is that your 2020 will be filled with that joy that can only come from knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Christ is the reason we celebrate Christmas. And it's given us great joy sharing our Real Radio program with you. Thank you for welcoming us into your home and into your life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.